I just really pray that what God touched me with this morning is something that touches your heart, something that begins to be quickened in your heart. What he was just praying just a moment ago was really the essence, because there's a quickening. There's a life that's found in him. We can only hope to just begin to habitate ourselves into that life. This morning, I just encountered that. I want to just relay a little bit of that. And so we'll start in Hebrews 10. God's expecting us to not just make do. He's wanting us to overcome. It's time for us to begin to be the overcomers that he's provided for us to be. It's time for us to begin to shift the gear into an overcoming. To begin to rise up and recognize that God has done this in me. One of the ways he wants to do that is to teach us how to be with him where he's at. And so we've been studying that. We've been looking how to be with him. And over in the Word, he's teaching us how to be with him. You can see it in John 17, in John 14. He prays for us to be with him where he's at. And as he's doing so, he's opening up the opportunity. We can count on the fact, because he's already invited it, that all we have to do is come into agreement with it. We're not even having to break any new ground here. All we're having to do is change our heart to come into agreement with his prayer. Because he's asked us, be with me where I am. He's prayed to the Father for that. In Hebrews 10, I want to point out a little bit of how we come to deal with our position in Christ. How we can come into relationship with this position in Christ. 10 verse 1. For law, since it has a shadow of the good things, has only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. So the law can never make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would not they have ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have a consciousness of sins. A consciousness of sins. What is he talking about there? It's not just a remembrance of what you've done. What he's talking about is a consciousness of the separation that existed between us and the Father before we got saved. Because that's what he's referring to all throughout there. If we begin to think of this consciousness of sins as the separation, we can begin to identify it more closely to what it really is. Because he's trying to address that separation. The separation that has been there, that existed because we did not know him. His prayer and his thought, everything that he's ever done was to bring an end to that separation. So if we go back here to verse 3, but in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins year by year. There's a reminder, a constant reminder of the separation between us and God. And there's a reminder that we have to do something to earn that place. To close that separation. That was what the law brought us to. It brought us to the awareness of the separation. But it couldn't deliver us over that. It could not take us past that point. The law is righteous, holy, and good. But there's nothing in the law that makes you righteous, holy, and good. It merely points out the problem. For it is impossible for the blood of goats and bulls to take away sins. But that's not what we have. We have a Christ who came. A Christ who came and offered himself up as a living sacrifice. And out of that sacrifice, the blood of Christ was shed in the remission of your sin. And as we begin to look at that, we begin to look, and I know that is really obvious to many of you, but let's go to verse 19, because see, verse 19 is one of those access scriptures. It's an access scripture that's been given to us by a holy God. And it says simply this, since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way in which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, when we begin to look at this access scripture, when we begin to understand it's by the blood that we have been given access into Him. So we begin to break this down a little bit. We get to the place where we are clean from an evil conscience. Where the understanding or the awareness of this divide is wiped away. The awareness of that separation is taken away. It's wiped away. It's broken. Because we're coming by the blood. We're coming by the washing of the water with the word. We're coming into a new and living way. But see, there are some things that happen to us along the way. When there's a divide between us and the Father, when there's that division, that separation, there's a lack of peace. How many know that peace is not the lack of external stress? Peace is not the lack of an external stress. Peace is the acknowledgement of who God is with inside us. Peace is something that dwells on the inside. It doesn't have anything to do with your external circumstance. I can tell you from my own experience, you can find a peace no matter how disastrous the world is around you. Some of the moments that I had the greatest cry of anguish of all in my heart when my son was facing a 20-year jail sentence and everything looked like it was just a done deal. The cry of my heart was, no, God. That can't be. And he said, this battle may be lost, but the war is already won. And as he did, this peace came on me. A peace that I could not even define. A peace I couldn't even begin to measure because it was so limitless. And then out of that peace, when I began to sit down in that courtroom, there was such a peace about me, I felt embarrassed. Because I thought, man, do I just not care? And I knew I cared. But God answered that peace. That young man came in. And as he came into the courtroom, you know, he's in that orange jumpsuit and all that yuck. And the judge asked him, son, what do you have to say for yourself? And he just simply said, sir, I don't have anything that I can tell you. He said, I've lied to you. I've run away from you. I've not done any of the things you've asked me to, and I've done everything you told me not to do. Then he said the next couple words, which rocked my world. See, but last night as I was reading the book of Acts, I began to pray in tongues. And when he said that, you could have heard the pin drop in the whole courtroom. And I started going, shaka da 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 da, because this is going to be really good or really bad. And he said, as I began to pray in tongues, I began to have a vision. Because as I had a vision, he said, and this vision said I was walking along and my foot got stuck in the mud and the mud turned into concrete. He said, but then the rains came. But then the rains came and my foot was set free. And the judge said, son, I can't tell you about your vision. I can't tell you about your relationship with God, but I can tell you I'm not sending you to prison today. See, when there's a peace, God can do something. And the peace wasn't because of my external circumstance. The peace was something God was doing on the inside. And that same peace is available to you. It's available to you. One of the things that we have to begin to understand is that this peace comes from a oneness with the Father, a oneness with the Son. It's not about our external circumstance. And one of the things that we so often get into is a self-indictment, a self-accusation. And it's those things that begin to stand in the way of our peace. It's those things that begin to stand in the way of our relationship with God. And that's what he's addressing here in Hebrews 10 and 19. Because we don't have to worry, be relying on those things that we're saying to ourselves. We can rely on what the Word says our access is. The Word says we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of the Lamb. We have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of the Lamb. What it's telling me is that everything that disrespected or disexpected my access was swallowed up in the blood. Anything that was in me that disrespected that or disexpected that was swallowed up in the blood. We have so many things that we enter into that we look at that are basically imagined infractions. We're so busy trying to serve Him out of a performance issue that we're creating our infractions. And that's what He's trying to set us free from, because our access is about the blood. It was never about us. I liked it when the Lord, one morning, He was transcribing some things to me, and He said, your access can never rely on anything external. He said, and Chuck, it's not about you. That let me off the hook. It was a bit of an awakening, because, you know, sometimes we just get so busy trying to do. So busy trying to prove, Lord, you know I worship you. You know I love you. Lord, you know I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to do that. But you just forget that it ain't about you. Our access is about Him. It's about Him. It doesn't matter whether you went on vacation and you didn't get to spend all the time that you thought you should. That was real good news. It doesn't matter about all these other things that we create that are basically just imagined infractions. Because we're real good about creating those. If we don't see something, we'll create one. We don't have to do that anymore, because the Word says, my access, my confidence to come into Him is by the blood of Jesus. My confidence to come into this place with Him is by the blood. And I can count on that. I can count on that because it'll work every time. It's not a matter of whether I think it works. It's not a matter of whether I've done enough. It's a matter of that the Word says it does. We don't have to worry about having broken our routine or all those other little foxes that come and steal our joy, because we can't perform the way we thought we were supposed to. As long as your access is based on your performance, the enemy always has something he can take away from you. It can't be based on that. Because there, brothers and sisters, we're going to come into a time when we're not going to have time to do anything but access Him so we can deliver what He has given us. And in order for us to do that, it can't be about us. It can't be about our performance anymore. It has to be based in His Word. It has to be based in His promise. It has to be based on the blood. Self-indictment, disappointment, fear, frustration. All these things disappear in the realization of the truth of the Word. Enmity and fear dissolve in the covering of the blood. In the covering of the blood, enmity and fear will dissolve away, because our access is by the blood, by the power of God. Doubt is swallowed up in His truth. And holiness, our own holiness, becomes natural when we begin to understand it's not about us. When we begin to see and recognize that this world that we're living in and these things that we're doing, it's not about us in the first place. And it's got to come out of the well that is Christ within us. When we see that, it begins to change in how we reflect on it. Verse 22. It says here, let us draw near with a sincere heart. That's a heart that is true. That word sincere comes from the same root word for the word true. It's a heart that's true. A heart that's lifted up. It's not just following after the traditions of the past. It's not following after the religion. It's following after Christ. It's a heart that's true. Sincere heart. It says something else here. And this is the one that caught my eye this morning. See, we come to Him by a new and living way. A new and living way. A new and living way. It's in the life. There's a life in the blood. There's a life in Christ. And somehow in our Christianity, we tend to forget that life. It's the life. It's the life that's in this place. Because this morning when I began to tap into this, I began to see Him as a living God. And I would have told you before, I know Him as He's a living God. I know that. But when I began to see it this morning, when I began to experience it this morning, when it feels like you're plugged into 240 and everything's sliding through your system and more power and authority than you've ever seen goes through your body, there's a new and living way that comes awareness, and awareness of this becomes alive in you like it's never been before. Well, I became aware of Him in the new and living way that He was my living high priest. That meant He was there forever making intercession over me. And we began to make intercession together, and some of you guys got some really intense intercession. Because when you're going, the intercession goes really quick. But I'm sure God's going to have some answers for you. There's something about, there's a living Word. And that living Word, it comes alive in you. When you begin to see Him as the living Word, when you begin to understand Him as the living Word, there's a change of perspective that comes in you. And this is what He began to tap into. I began to tap into it this morning. What I began to realize is that dead religion, it means the wrong God. We've been serving the wrong God. Dead religion is the wrong God. Christianity is not a list of do's and don'ts. Christianity is a life in Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's the life, it's out of the life that He deals with us. It's out of the life that we become electrified with His joy. It's out of that life that we become alive, and so that we have a way to respond to others in a whole new way. It's out of the life. He's a living God. I don't know how I miss seeing how brilliantly living He is. But it's there. And see, that's what the enemy has been so desperately trying to get us not to find out that was behind that veil. See, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And what he's trying to destroy is your understanding of who God really is. That He really is a living God. Because see, when He becomes a living God, He becomes somebody that the Holy Spirit can testify about. Because the Holy Spirit will bear witness to the living God. He'll bear witness to the living God. And I guarantee you that signs, miracles, and wonders will happen as He bears witness to the living God. He is living. See, cold, dead religion has to go. The old, cold, dead religion has to go. There's a life, and when we begin to tap into life, yeah, I wish Jerry was here tonight. Because Jerry has a testimony, and it's really about that. See, Jerry grew up as a preacher's kid. By the time he was 15 or so, he'd already heard all the stuff. He had tuned it all out and was beginning to seek his place in the streets. And after school one day, he went over to this group of kids. They were worshiping God. They were playing their instruments together, and they were worshiping God. And he began to discover that there was a joy in knowing Christ. There was a life in knowing Christ. And he went home from that jam session and threw himself on the floor. He said as soon as he threw himself on the floor, he just began to call out to God and said, I did not know you. I did not know there was life in you. And Lord, I repent. And you know when he was telling me this story, just the other day, 60-some years later, it was just as alive in him as the day he got saved. And that life came across the phone. That life touched my heart. There's something about Christ when we see him this way. When we see the life that's in him, there's something that we can begin to communicate to another. It's something we can begin to be a carrier of because it's in us and it touches another. We got to touch another. John 10:10. The rule brought it out that the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's standing at the door, at the entrance door. Something the Lord showed me a couple of days ago is I can begin to command him to leave my door. I can command him to leave my door. Just as I begin to speak to him, because he says, greater is he who is in me than he who stands at the door. Greater is he in me than the thief who's standing at my door. So I don't have to pay attention. You know what I did? I began telling him he had to leave. And when I began telling him he had to leave, all those millions of little interruptions and all those little things that kept happening to my prayer time stopped. All those little intimidations and all those little things that you would have to deal with, you know, to set your mind at ease so that you'd be ready, they went away. Because I told him he can't be there. Well, I wanted to let you in on this, something that God is showing me. Because there's access through that door. When you can begin to meet Christ as a living door. As a living door, it's so much different. It's not just some impersonal piece of wood that's standing there trying to block you to get access and you can't get through it. It's a living door. And the door, when you ask, it will embrace you. He's a living door and he begins to embrace you. He says, come. Come. And he'll wrap you up and bring you in. It's a living door. Your safest access here is to be right in front of his face. Be right in front of his face. The safest place you can be is right in front of the face of God. When you're right there in front of his face, there's a living transformation that happens in you. There's a breath of God that begins to envelop you. And as it does, the life that's in that breath envelops you too. He's living in me. I began to see that because he was living, that meant he has risen as well. And because he's risen, he ascended as well. And because he ascended, he's standing in the place of authority to release to me the access into this place. He releases to me the access into his presence. Because as a risen Lord, now he has the authority to release to me whatever he desires, because all things have been given into his hands. All things have been given into him. And so out of this place, he can begin to release it into my hand. Think about it. As I begin to come into this place, there was a sensation of just raw power. An intimate compassion. And out of that, there just spawned naturally an intercession that just came forth. It wasn't something that I worked up. It wasn't something that I planned. It just began to burst forth. Because it was the heart of God for that moment. The heart of God is stirred and found when we begin to discover him as a living God. The heart of God is revealed into us. As we discover who he is, then now all of a sudden, all that he wants to do becomes available through you. We have a mission. And in that mission, we have a mission to fulfill. And in that fulfillment of that mission is the carrying forth of the things that he's delivering to us. But we don't want to just go out and just go out into the world when carrying them just a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That's a nice thing, but it's not the power of God. They need to see and hear the power of God being displayed. They need to understand out of the heart of God being displayed. So that their hearts are stirred. So that the compassion is stirred in them. So that the response comes out of their heart to come and worship this heavenly God. Because there's a response in you that calls it forth in them. See, Hebrews 7 tells us he lives, and therefore he's able to save forever those who will come to him. He's able to save forever those who will come to him. I don't think we have anybody here who has an issue with understanding that they're saved. There are some that do and recognize he's saving forever those who will seek him. Those who will turn their hearts to him. Recognize in Hebrews 10:26, it says this, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin." The key right there is the word willfully. If we go on sinning willfully, in other words, if we go on making a determination in our heart, I will not hear God and will not heed God. There are people that do. Israel did. Look in chapter 30 of Isaiah 30. In Isaiah 30, the people actually said, "Don't prophesy to me the truth. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to go where you were telling us to go. We don't want to do that. We want to go to Egypt." Guess what? They went to Egypt. Where did the Assyrians go? To Egypt. They didn't run away. They didn't escape. The ones who stayed there became the remnant, because they stayed where God said to stay. Everybody else that ran off got carried off. Your safety is right there in the face of God, with the breath of God blowing across you. Whatever he tells you, no matter what it looks like on the outside, you're surrounded by that breath, you're safe. When we're alive in him, we're in the Father's will. That's the only thing that's separating you right there. When you come to a place where you're recognizing and desiring to be in his will, God will take care of the separation all by himself. He'll take care of all the division between you and him. He'll accept you with whatever it is that you got on you. He'll take care of whatever that is. He'll draw you into himself. And as he does so, he begins to just release the understanding of how to make progress into the next phase. How to make progress out of that sin or out of whatever else it was. The whole thing that God wants to do is take you out of those places and bring you into a place of unity and oneness. Because unity and oneness are the thing that deliver us. Oneness in him. Knowing that we're in Christ. And knowing that as we're in Christ, we're in a living God who didn't die 2,000 years ago, but he's alive today. And he's working and activating in our life today. Daniel served a living God. And the testimony of it reached all the nations. Go to Daniel 6. See, in Daniel 6, we're talking about Daniel in the lion's den. Where the satraps, the other people that were around, they were jealous of what Daniel was doing. They were jealous of Daniel's position. So they set up something to fool the king into causing him to issue an edict that would cause Daniel to be destroyed. And Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and the king was so disturbed about it that he sat up all night and prayed. He followed the edict that he had made. But he trusted in this God of Daniel. And then the morning came, and Daniel was said, "Hey, king, how are you?" And there was a restoration that happened. But see, this is what Darius, the king, he begins to tell us in verse 26. Because he's making the testimony about Daniel's God. When we begin to be identified as having been with Christ, others are going to be the ones making the testimony. Here's the testimony. "I make a decree in all the dominion of my kingdom. Men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel." That sounds like a pretty good start. "For he is the living God, the living God, and enduring forever. And his kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed. His dominion will be forever." He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who will also deliver Daniel from the power of the lions. This is the testimony of the king about Daniel's God. He said, this is the living God. When we start reacting in the way that God has shown and given us the power to do so, then there will be a testimony being said about us. This is a living God, and they serve a living God. Those people at HRC serve a living God because we've seen Him. We've seen Him. We've seen Him in action. A living God. That's the authority that God's releasing into our hearts. That's the authority He's releasing into it. As we begin to approach Him, as we begin to see Him, as we begin to desire to be with Him, and as we stand in this place inside the gate, inside the door, then He's releasing us into a place of the testimony of the living God. The testimony of the Holy Spirit. Because see, the Holy Spirit's going to add Himself to that living Word. When our testimony becomes about a living God, not some God that was 2,000 years ago, but a God who's with me today, a God who stands beside me today, a God who rescued me today, a God who delivered me today, a God who stands forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus. If you want to enjoy prosperity, you want to enjoy success, serve a living God. Serve a living God. Because when you serve a living God, He can make a testimony for you. He'll make a testimony. He'll make you into the testimony. I want to be the testimony. I want to be the testimony of prosperity. That would be really neat. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about the rest of you. You can do it or not do it. That's up to you. But I want to. I want to be the testimony. So others can look and say, there is a living God. Look what He did for Chuck. Look what He did for Ann. Look what He did for Carlene. There's a living God. You were talking about earlier about the living waters pouring forth. The living waters come from the living God. They come from the living God. Guess what? 2 Corinthians 6 calls us temples of what? The living God. We are the temple of the living God. And it's as we begin to recognize ourselves, as we begin to sit in that place. And all I did this morning is I just said, Lord, You are the living God. As I began to say it, I began to see it. I began to speak into it, and I just began to declare it. And as I began to declare it, there was something about faith that rose up into me to grab a hold of this living God right here, because He declared us to be a temple of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. We are a temple of the God who wants to make and transfer us into a whole new kingdom, into a whole new way of thinking, into a whole new way of seeing and relating to the world of Christianity around us. A whole new way of relating to our Father. Because He is a living God. Because He's alive, I'm no longer limited. Because He's alive to continually make new testimony within me. I'm no longer limited by the things of the past. I can stand in the assurance that I have a living God who is partnering with me. He's partnering with me. As I begin to make declaration into my circumstance, He's partnering with me. He's partnering with you. Because He's a living God. He's a now God. A now God has to be, by deference, a living God. Simply by the act of being now. He's a living God. It brings forth a consciousness of Christ in a way that I had not experienced until this morning. If you had told me about the living God, I would have told you I know about the living God. But when I met the living God, I didn't know jack about the living God. See, there's an inference and there's a place that God wants to have a connection with you in the same way. Because there's an infinite number of these places in God that He needs to connect us to. And it's not just about you joining in and having my experience or LaRue's experience or Craig's experience. There's a connection for you. And whatever it is, that's the one that's going to change your world so that you can change the world. That's the one we seek. The one that changes our world so we can change the world. I don't have to be just doing LaRue's. I don't have to be just doing Craig's. I can do whatever God wants to do for me. In Him. We live and move and have our being. In Him, we live and move and have our being. We are alive in Him. Our life and our being, our existence is in Him.
Man, that was good. He is a living Christ. Every one of us should have a living encounter with Him. I love that because He does something new and different. There's so many realms to Him. Like He just said, He said, if you had asked if He was a living God this, you know, before this morning, He said, yeah, I know Him as a living God, but He had a revelation, more than a revelation. He had an encounter with Him because He became where He was and He encountered and it changed His life forever. It'll change His prayer life. It'll change the fellowship that He has with God. It'll change everything because He had an encounter with a living God. And there's so many areas there. We don't even know what's all there. We're exploring it as fast as we can. Because the more we get a hold of, the more it's going to get released. In this day and hour. And though God has us all focused up in getting into Christ, He is going to bring that fountain out of Christ and He's going to transform the world with it. But He's got to get us there. And He had to get us focused enough. He just shut the whole progression of the church down 3 years ago and said, stop trying to build something for me and just come into where I am. Let me show you how to find this place. He goes, the answer for humanity is not in something you're doing in your own strength. The answer to humanity all dwells where Christ dwelleth, and we go in there and have encounters like this, and like He said, God is writing a testimony with our life. Two things I want to remind you that hit me strong. Three, actually, the living God. But the other, one of the things He said, that the new and living way, He's the way into the Father, and He tied that into Jesus being the door. He goes, I am the door. If any man entereth in, he shall be saved, then go in and out. He's a living door. He's not a piece of wood. Amen? So when we approach Him, we see this. He stepped down in a living pillar of glory. When Moses entered the tabernacle, you can go read your Bible, Exodus 33. Moses went into the tabernacle and He came down as a living pillar of glory that stood at that door. Why is that important? When we go to Him, like He said, we're not approaching a dead religion. We can expect an encounter with a living doorway of God. Amen? And that living doorway is going to open up the realm of God. And another thing He said, praise the Lord, I'm preaching His stuff. This was powerful. The thief cometh what? To steal, kill, and destroy. That verse is right after. It says, I am the door. If by me any man enter in, he shall be saved. He will go in and out of the kingdom, in and out of the temple, the indwelling temple of God, and he will find pasture. But the thief will come to steal, kill, and destroy. And we talked about, we always look at that verse of all the stuff He steals from us in the natural, amen? We're always looking at all the stuff, and everybody's been stolen from here. What about how much has been stolen from us in the spirit? Because we didn't get through that door, and He stole it from us, camping out that door. And what He said tonight, if you're listening, hallelujah, He says, greater is He that's in me. That doorway in me is greater than the forces of this world system that are trying to keep me away from it. That's just faith scripture. Man, that's access stuff right there. I'm going to use that tomorrow morning. I tell you what, but I will go with that because as soon as if I start encountering stuff when I'm on my way into Him, I'm going to say, no, but see, it's a new revelation. Greater is that doorway. That living doorway that's in me, then the force is trying to keep me away from it. You use that. You grab hold. Greater is that living doorway. That's how you get in. You go in by revelation. Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Hallelujah. Greater.